This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. While some filmmakers become known for a particular style or genre, the work of director Jonathan Demme is striking in its sheer eclecticism. His films range from comedies like Married to the Mob to an exploration of AIDS discrimination in the film Philadelphia to the thriller The Silence of the Lambs, which won 5 Oscars in 1992. He also directed the documentary Jimmy Carter, Man from Plains, and the concert films Neil Young, Heart of Gold, and Stop Making Sense, featuring the Talking Heads. Demme's new film, Rachel Getting Married, is a family drama shot in documentary style. The screenplay was written by Jenny Lumet, daughter of director Sidney Lumet and granddaughter of Lena Horne. The film centers around Kim, a young woman played by Anne Hathaway, who's coming home from a drug rehab center to attend her sister Rachel's wedding. She's trying to deal with seeing her family while musicians, caterers, and friends buzz around the house. Her family is trying to get the wedding together, hoping Kim doesn't cause any drama. At the same time, the whole family is still dealing with a tragedy from years ago. Fresh Air contributor Dave Davey spoke to Jonathan Demme and Jenny Lumet. He started by asking Lumet how she came up with the concept for the film.
Well, Jonathan Demme and Jenny Lumet, welcome to Fresh Air. This film, Rachel Getting Married, is a wedding movie, but it's not exactly just a wedding movie. And let me direct this to you, Jenny Lumet, who wrote the screenplay. You know, the center of this story is the sister of the bride is coming home out of a drug rehab center and comes home to a house which is full of musicians and caterers and family and friends, all in the whirl and buzz of getting a weekend wedding ready. And she's trying to cope with getting back to the jarring reality of life outside of rehab. And it's just a fascinating concept. Where did it come from?
I had an image of a bride getting ready for this big moment. And she's in a room by herself in her wedding gown, and then her sister bursts in the room, either destroying a moment or creating a moment. And those women lived in my head for, I guess, months, and then I started listening very carefully to what they were saying to each other. And I've been a bridesmaid, and I think, honestly, preparing the bride is actually quite beautiful. And I think it's been going on for thousands of years, women preparing this young woman to go out and, you know, take this step in her life. And it actually kind of resonates for me. Having said that, I've also had to wear a really stupid, poofy dress and, you know, and, like, run around trying to find eyelashes and mascara and stuff like that, too. So it's not all historical reverence. I think that I think it was just that idea. Of course I know people, and of course the characters in this movie are amalgamations of people that I know. And some of them I made up out of whole cloth, and some of them Jonathan made up. But I think it was from that one moment.
Jonathan Demme, when you in the director's statement that came with the production notes we received for this film, Rachel Getting Married, you describe an enthusiastic reaction when you first read Jenny Lumet's script, and you said you saw a film that could be made from the script that would mirror your reaction to reading it. What did you mean by your reaction and recreating it on film?
Well, I read the script, and two things happened that sort of never happen. This script made me laugh out loud so much that family members were going, "What's going on in there?" And I was like, I'm just reading the script. And then at a certain point in the picture, and it has to do when the sisters kind of are suddenly together and one of them has been hurt and the other one is ministering to her. And I'm sitting there reading the script and tears start going down my face. And I am tough. You know, I never cry. But I cried then and I thought, wow, what if we could capture All the fun, the tremendous edge, the heartbreak, the emotion of this piece in a movie? Wouldn't that be one heck of an hour and a half spent in a movie theater? So that made me kind of go for it, because, you know, to me, Jenny had achieves all these things in her script by leaving the formula, not by pursuing the security of a formulaic movie.
Well, you know, one of the things that I liked about the film was, just like real life, you have these little moments where these confrontations between the sisters and the family erupt at unpredictable times and at moments where there are distractions which they want to get out of the way and which various family members are there uncomfortably observing and participating. And I thought we'd listen to one little moment of this. And I think I can set this up. This is after a very – after the wedding rehearsal dinner at which Kim, the sister who's come out of rehab, has given a very inappropriate probably and awkward toast in which she is going through one of the 12 steps, which is to apologize and ask forgiveness for those she has offended. And she takes the moment of her toast at her sister's wedding – to go on and on about her experiences in rehab and apologizing to other people and then give a blanket thank you to her sister and apology in which she says, you know, I've been a nightmare, you've been a saint. And the scene we're going to hear is they're coming back into the house after the rehearsal dinner, unloading stuff, packages are dropping, and we hear the sister who's getting married, that is to say Rachel, begin the conversation. Let's listen.
But you've never said anything to me that's remotely apologetic, yet all of a sudden at my wedding dinner in front of everybody, you decide to grace us all with your development.
I just got home.
Gee, hey everybody, and guests, just in case you might be thinking about something else for 5 minutes, like, I don't know, my sister's wedding, they just cut me loose. I'm a loose cannon. Anybody up for some rehab humor? Because I am really, really fine with acknowledging my disease. Hey, and now watch me be really selfless and weave a lovely blanket apology to my sister for being just a tad out of her loop.
You are so
Rachel,
cynical.
You know, Rachel, she's making an effort, dear.
Oh, an effort? Is that what that was? Because I think she presumes that since everything has always revolved around her disease, that everything else is going to revolve around her recovery. That's what I think.
Rachel, she just got home.
Again.
And that's Rosemary DeWitt and Anne Hathaway from Rachel Getting Married, the film written by our guest Jenny Lumet and directed by our other guest Jonathan Demme. Now, Jonathan Demme, this film is shot in a documentary style. I mean, we see a lot of handheld cameras in which, you know, the camera follows dialogue from one to another. Explain your approach in shooting this film.
Well, I think two things probably more than anything else. One is that over the years, I put a lot of energy into trying to find the most time-honored way of bringing the audience into a scene through very sort of, you know, with an eye on Hitchcock techniques and stuff like that, and really kind of, I think, sort of it, on my own terms, quote-unquote, perfecting it. And I reached a point where I felt that it was working, the intent of this rather formal kind of quasi-Hitchcockian style was effective. And then at a certain point, I started feeling like, well, I know how I'm going to shoot that scene before I even get there. I know what it's going to look like before I even get there, and it looks fine. And I was getting – I guess I kind of got bored with that because I love to shoot. And if you start getting bored with the way you're working, it's time to change. Meanwhile, I just – and I, you know, Mean Streets was the first time where I really kind of went, wow. And saw, gosh, look at the way this picture's been shot, you know, and the immediacy of that handheld camera and stuff. And, you know, handheld camera's been around before Martin Scorsese showed up, especially in, you know, the Nouvelle Vague and the films of John Cassavetes. But there was this urgency, and I felt myself feeling like, wow, this is really happening the way Scorsese used it. So I've kind of admired that, and I always try to get a little handheld into the movie. And then more recently, I've been shooting a lot of documentaries with Declan Quinn,
right,
one of the great cinematographers of all time. And after we did we did a documentary together about Jimmy Carter Man from Plains, about a year and a half ago. And coming off of that, the way that Declan's able to make what's really going on in real life feels so incredibly immediate and cinematic, made me think, well, gosh, let's shoot Rachel Getting Married like that. Let's pretend we're making a documentary. In fact, we won't even rehearse, and we had to cast actors who were willing to not rehearse, to not know when the camera was going to be on them. And we went forth with that. We had a blast, and I love the way this picture looks. I'm so excited about it.
What's interesting to me about the documentary style was that there are moments that I was very aware of it. But in these really intense family discussions, and we heard one of them a moment ago, when I thought about it later, I thought, well, now, wait, I think in that case he wasn't doing it documentary style. I think those were carefully blocked with stationary cameras. And then when I went back and looked at the movie, no, indeed, all those were also shot with handheld cameras. Why, Jonathan Demme, did it seem so convincing and immediate, and I forgot all about why was that effective in a way that I was – that made me forget about the documentary style?
Well, we started out when we began filming. We started immediately with the rehearsal dinner because we wanted to. That was something that we really didn't require any quote unquote direction or blocking because we just had to bring the actors into the room and we tried very hard to try to prevent as many people as possible from getting to know each other beforehand so that we could actually even film people kind of in a situation getting to know each other in addition to you know, providing the content of the scene. But we were able to shoot pure documentary stuff, just pure in that situation. That meant that the family members who we will later focus on and who we focus on in the scene in the living room, by the time we got to the scene in the living room, they were used to the documentary style. They were used to ignoring the camera. They were used to not necessarily being in any given shot and then finding themselves in the next shot. And the kind of feedback we were getting there from the actors was that they were really, really excited about working this way, that it really helped keep the spontaneity factor in full effect, that by not having blocked out shots and then repeated blocked out shots as we would try to perfect every angle, it kept them feeling as much as possible that this was really going on. And, one thing that Declan and I thought would be great, one thing he really wanted to do was operating on the premise that almost every single scene here, in theory, someone could have had a little home movie camera with them, including the family arguments. And if one was perverse enough, they could film these little arguments. And that's just the way it went forth.
We're speaking with Jonathan Demme and Jenny Lumet. Jenny Lumet wrote the screenplay for Rachel Getting Married. Jonathan Demme is the director. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Jenny Lumet, who wrote the screenplay for the new film Rachel Getting Married, and Jonathan Demme, who directed the film. You know, Jenny Lumet, when I prepared for the interview, I don't know if I've ever spoken to someone who'd written a well-received screenplay who I could find less information about in the media. I mean, you're, of course, the daughter of Sidney Lumet, the
yeah.
director, who's done all this tremendous work and still working, right?
Yeah.
All I know about
Better
you is
than
that,
ever.
Yeah, you're described as a 7th and 8th grade teacher and the drama mm-hmm. lady at an independent school in Manhattan. You have a black belt in taekwondo, two
yeah.
kids. Now, and you have some acting credits over the years. I know you've done some acting. But is film going to be – how did you get into writing this? Have you written stuff before that didn't get published? And tell us a little bit about
it. I mean, this is probably my 4th or 5th screenplay. The other – two of before got optioned, but they didn't go. I personally thought they were hysterically funny, but I think that I'm the only one. And they didn't go anywhere. When I was pregnant with my first child, I started writing. And it wasn't like a light bulb went on in my head, you know, aha, now is the time. I couldn't tell you why I started. I love teaching. I love teaching the 7th and 8th grade. I'm the drama teacher. I am a better writer when I'm teaching, and that's what I've been doing in raising my kids. That's what I've been doing.
Why do you think you're a better writer when you're teaching?
Oh, because if you can, you know, get up in front of a room of 12 and 13-year-old kids, you can do freaking anything. There's no way I would have chased down and stalked Jonathan Demme had I not had the, you know, can I say balls? Had I not had those from facing down rooms of 12 and 13-year-old children. Because if you are a melonhead, they will let you know.
This film has something which is unique in cinema as far as I know, which is a duel on who can best load a dishwasher, which is a funny moment at which Rachel's dad and I guess the groom in the wedding get into this argument about who knows how to better load a dishwasher. Jenny Lumet, where does that come from?
That is completely pilfered. I grew up how I grew up, and it wasn't like, you know, famous people were crawling out from under the sink when I got home from school. But every now and again, there was a great artist in the house. And one time, the director, Bob Fosse, was in the house for dinner. And so you have to – this is a very – Bob Fosse is – I was a little girl. I was 11 or 12. And this is a very languid, long, graceful man, and the whole being sort of ends and extends to the cigarette in the fingertips and sort of ends with the cigarette in the fingertips. And even the smoke is graceful around this man. And he has dressed all in black, black cashmere sweater over the shoulders, you know, black shirt, black pants, and this beautiful goatee. And there is my dad, who looks like a cantaloupe, completely spherical, with like a big tummy, wearing a sweatsuit with like vinaigrette stains all over him. And there, it's after dinner, and my dad's loading the dishwasher. And Bob Fosse takes a big drag of this, you know, a Galois or whatever it was he was smoking, and goes, "You know, Sydney, if you put the salad bowls in the upper level, you'll get 10% more stuff in your dishwasher." And my dad, who is 5'3", looks up at him and goes, "Bob, go boom, boom, boom." Because I don't think I can say it on the radio.
Right.
And so there we have this. And for the next hour and a half, these guys who one would think would have something else to talk about other than loading the dishwasher went at it like two people caught in the grips of the worst OCD on the planet, with Bob Fosse turning the tines on the fork upside down and calling Sydney a barbarian and Sydney saying, "Oh, you're a, what do you know, dancer boy?" I mean, it was so demented, so demented. And I did not remember it because I am prescient and thought, aha, I will use this, you know, decades later. I remembered it because it was psychotic and disturbing behavior.
Well, Jonathan Demme, you have such a diverse career. I mean, you've done so many different kinds of films. You got started with Roger Corman, who, of course, is known for making lots and lots of successful, like, what would you say, low-budget action, horror, all kinds of stuff. And I think he does a cameo in Rachel Getting Married, doesn't he? Is he in The Wedding?
He does indeed. Uh-huh. In fact, there's a moment in the movie that I love a lot, which I don't expect anyone else to love. But there's a shot of the couple saying their vows. And just off to the side is this incredibly handsome guy in a fabulous suit with a gigantic grin on his face. And he's aiming this little tiny handheld camera at the couple. And that's Roger Corman, who I gave the camera to seconds before. He didn't know he was going to be expected to do that. And he really rose to the occasion. And then we cut to Roger's shot, a beautifully composed, fabulous shot of the bride. So the thing about Roger is he's famously tight-fisted. He's famous for three things, brilliant filmmaker in his own right. Second of all, is this mogul. Third of all, so tight-fisted. And the thing about Roger is that if you offer Roger SAG minimum for a couple of days' work in a movie, he shows up, does a great job on the part, and goes away thinking that he's really somehow stuck it to the man.
We're speaking with Jonathan Demme and Jenny Lumet. Jenny Lumet wrote the screenplay for Rachel Getting Married. Jonathan Demme is the director. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Jenny Lumet, who wrote the screenplay for the new film Rachel Getting Married, and Jonathan Demme, who directed the film. Jonathan Demme, one of the hallmarks of some of your films is shooting scenes where characters look directly into the camera or almost directly into the camera. And I'm wondering, is there a particular reason or purpose for that technique when you use it? I mean, I see it in The Manchurian Candidate, the film you did a few years ago.
Yes. that is the use of the subjective camera is an idea that's been around in movies for a long, long time. And it's an idea that was seized on very notably by Sam Fuller and by Alfred Hitchcock, and two different very kind of otherwise very different styles of filmmaking. And the whole point, according to Hitchcock, and it's right, is that, you know, if you go subjective camera, you are, for that moment, putting the audience in the shoes of the character. You're showing the audience and making the audience share exactly what it's like to see what the character sees. So Tak Fujimoto and I, when we started getting enough of a budget where we could afford the right lenses, because we started out doing low-budget pictures together, we started experimenting with this subjective camera thing, and we kind of fell in love with the idea of using that as our close-up. Instead of having the camera slightly off to the side, our thing was, well, maybe by using subjective camera in ordinary dialogue situations, you know, we can bring the audience that deeply into the film that way. And we were afraid that it might be kind of off-putting or call attention to itself, but we found out, Married to the Mob was the first time we did it, and nobody commented. The scenes that we used it went really well. No one found fault with it. So when we did Silence of the Lambs, we really went to town with it. We just started using subjective camera for every dialogue scene, trying to pull the audience deeply as you possibly could into the scene. So it was really an aggressive way to pursue intense audience involvement. Now, in this movie, we didn't use, in Rachel Getting Married, there's no subjective camera. This
right.
time, the energy and the effort to draw the audience as deeply as possible into the movie comes from making them feel that what they're seeing actually happened. And in this way, we try to take advantage of that kind of that truth factor that comes along with looking at your home movies. This really happened. Look how shaky the camera is. Or we try to make it too shaky. But that's how we tried to really galvanize the audience into believing what they were seeing and to getting as involved as possible.
I wanted to talk just a little bit about The Silence of the Lambs. It's the film, it goes back a few years in your career, 1991, but it swept the Oscars. And I read in an interview at the time that Janet Maslin said that it was your opinion that every director dreams of making a film more terrifying than anything mm-hmm. he has ever seen. Is that true, or was that just something you tossed off at the time?
Well, I'll tell you, what I can tell you is that I know when I saw Zodiac, and then again when I saw No Country for Old Men, there was a moment in each of my viewing experiences where I went, damn it, this is scarier than Silence of the Lambs. So I guess on a certain level that there's something there, yes.
You've been topped again. Oh, God.
Yeah.
I read that a lot of producers didn't think that the novel by Thomas Harris could be made into a movie, partly because it's just such a grisly story. And I'm wondering how you confronted the questions of how much you show of either the actual violence itself or the resulting carnage.
An enormous amount of work went into trying to figure out a way that we could deliver the full maximum power and horror of some of the phenomenon contained in that story without grossing people out. And Tak Fujimoto, the director of photography, Christy Zia, the production designer, and I and others spent just so much time. How are we going to do this? And Christy, at a certain point, she went to the work of Francis Bacon and started bringing Francis Bacon images in and saying, well, what if we did something like this maybe? We could show it but not necessarily show it. And Tak said, yes, we could
Clarify Francis Bacon for the audience here.
Francis Bacon, the great modern disturbing English
okay.
painter. Yeah. And then Tak would say, yes, I can light that. I can see how Francis Bacon is working with light and shadows here, and we can duplicate that, and we can work with that. So we got a lot of inspiration from Francis Bacon, and I hope his estate doesn't now sue us or something. But that was a big, huge part of preparing for the movie.
Well, of course, the dark heart of the film is the character of Hannibal Lecter, which is performed so brilliantly by Anthony Hopkins. And maybe we should just listen to a little bit. Do you have a favorite scene that you think captures that performance?
All of them.
Okay, all of them. Well, let's listen to just a little.
Dr. Lecter, whose head is in that bottle?
Why don't you ask me about Buffalo Bill?
Well, do you know something about him?
I might if I saw the case file. You could get that for me.
Well, why don't we talk about Miss Moffat? You wanted me to find him.
His real name is Benjamin Raspail, a former patient of mine whose romantic attachments ran to, shall we say, the exotic. I did not kill him, I assure you, merely tucked him away very much as I found him after he'd missed three appointments.
But if you didn't kill him, then who did, sir?
Who can say? Best thing for him, really. His therapy was going nowhere.
Well, you did the horror classic of a generation, and you've done, so many things. And then, of course, this most recent, Rachel Getting Married. What's next for you?
I have begun work on a very special, I now have a very special opportunity to make a very special documentary about Bob Marley. And we are working very closely with the Marley family. And we have discovered hundreds of hours of quote-unquote never-before-seen performance footage, interview footage, stuff that was mislabeled in a vault in London decades ago. And I can't tell you this treasure trove of stuff. So it's going to be a film that really, hopefully, is going to be the film that Bob Marley would have us make. It's going to be a film in Marley's words. We're not going to be cutting to people, explaining him to us for us. And we're also going to do something which is a little unusual in music portrait documentaries, is that when we cut to a performance, we're going to let it play. We're not going to do a hot 20 seconds and then have people talk about how great that was. We're just going to let Bob Marley go.
Jonathan Demme directed the new film Rachel Getting Married. Jenny Lumet wrote the screenplay. They spoke with Fresh Air contributor Dave Davies, who's a senior writer for the Philadelphia Daily News. You can hear our film critic David Edelstein's review of the film on our website, freshair.npr.org, where you can also download podcasts of our show.